Hare
Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavahitamastu Mavidvishavahai Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, now so now they've asked about Naraganuga Bhakti. To bottom two. Raghunath Das Babaji was overjoyed at this request and said, "My sons, our beloved Lord Sri Chaitanya has endorsed your initiation. Hence, there is nothing that cannot be revealed to you. Listen very carefully as I explain the principles of Raghunuga Bhakti. As a preamble to the subject of Raghunuga Bhakti, I want to delineate the symptoms of Ragatmika Bhakti, the spontaneous transcendental loving service of the Nitya Siddhas, the eternal residence of the spiritual realm. Srila Rupa Goswami defines rag in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 12272. Rag is total absorption in one's most worshipable object, tempered with emotions that are svas rasika, rasiki, in accordance with one's innate and mood of transcendental love. When devotion to Sri Krishna is fully complemented by rag, it is described as ragatmika bhakti." Okay. Okay. So when one is totally absorbed and they're tempered with the appropriate emotions according to one's rasa, right? So that devotion is called ragatmika. Right? So this rag is total absorption with the proper mood. So when the devotion is done with that, that's called ragatmika. Right, because the rag, meaning the full absorption and the proper mood, is the essential point of the devotion. Mm-hmm. Right, because atmika means the life. Right, so when rag is the life of the devotion, does that make sense? To put it briefly, ragatmika bhakti is the insatiable thirst to love Sri Krishna. Those devotees who have not yet experienced spiritual emotions in this realm of devotion, imbued with raga, must seek the dictates of the scriptures to enhance their devotion. Thus, following Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, awe, reverence, and faith are the active principles of Vaidhi Bhakti, whilst an ever-increasing spiritual greed to relish the pastimes of Sri Krishna is the hallmark of Ragatmika Bhakti. Right, so here, awe, reverence, and faith are the active principles of Vaidhi, because that's what makes it work nicely. Right, but then the others, ever increasing spiritual greed to relish the pastimes of Sri Krishna, is the hallmark of Ragatmika. So it's ever increasing. Not that you know, at the regular time you have this, then you get into that, and then like that, and okay, then next day. The point is it's just there's an ever increasing. There's always wanting more and more. So it's nothing to do with when you're having reading or kirtan or that therefore then it's inspired. It's that it's inspired on its own, and those things just make it more. Does this make sense? Yeah. Like that. Because the other one means you're regulating it and making it happen. So it's a very nice arrangement. So one's getting a taste, one's getting all these different things. Because one has to understand is the element of rag then can be there either means in its natural state starting at bhava, or it can start at nishta, right? It's but one can go all the way through to bhava without it, with vaidhi. But from bhava, then it will continue. That means the rag will start. Does that make sense? Right? But for those, you know, in Vaikuntha, then even they come to that platform of bhava, it's still within rules and regulations, because that's the nature of the affection, is being expressed through rules. Right? Does that make sense? So there's a, that's the form for it. Vrajanath, who can be considered a fit candidate for Ragamaya Bhakti? Raghunath Das Babzi. It is said that implicit faith in scriptural injunctions creates eligibility for the practice of Vaidhi Bhakti, right? Implicit faith in scriptural injunctions. So if we're questioning scriptural injunctions, that means the faith is not as strong, right? It means it's one thing to try to understand how that works, like he asked there before in the previous chapter, you know, what does each one of these mean? But he has faith that this is correct, right? There's a difference. Otherwise, we'll say, well, where's our, you know, questioning? Where's our, you know? Yes, you can question, but with faith. You want to know how to make it work, understand it deeper. But if you're not sure if this is real or not, or correct or not, that's not implicit faith, right? So to doubt the scriptures means the faith is not that strong. So that's why then when we'll see the Vaidhi will not be so strong. But if the implicit faith is there, then one's steadiness and the devotional practices is very strong. Does that make sense? One has to distinguish between what's a lack of faith. I mean, what, you know, what's, how you say, what's, when, yeah, should be careful that this idea of lack of faith is covered by a modern concept of intellectualism, that I'm just simply inquiring and trying to, you know, to exercise my individual nature. You understand? It's very easily covered. That's what's nice. See, language is such that it's for expressing feelings and emotions. So it's very good at doing that. That's what it's for. So if someone wants to hide their position of lack of faith, so you can use nice words to cover it, right? So just like an emotion can be revealed or emotion can be covered simply by the use of words. You know what I'm saying? So it's not that because I'm using the words, therefore, you know, it's at the pinnacle of perfection. It's a matter of what's your intent. Does that make sense? So much of what goes on in the world today, you know, especially in religion, is they're covering what is the underlying emotions. Right? But people are doing that in every sphere. So it's not just, oh, in religion they're doing it. No, they're doing that in their family life, their relationships, their business, everything like that. Right? You know, like Prabhupada said, you know, the businessman, when you ask him, and he says, for you I make no profit. You know? But, you know, the good chance that when he says that, he's making five times the profit. You know? You understand? So it's just the way words go. So one shouldn't feel bad about it, but one should be able to identify it. Because otherwise, the modern ideas that you have, they've taken certain things as norm. Right? So they have their norm of what is their standard. So if it's in line with that, then it's fine. If it's not in line with that, then there's a complaint. But the point is that standard is not based on Shastra. It's not based on attachment to Krishna. It's simply based on an attachment to a false identity of being a so-called intellectual. You know, intellectual, liberal, broad-minded, all these, whatever nice words you want to come out with. All it is that's come about. Where is it based on? So how do you say it's liberal? You know what I'm saying? That's the thing, because it's not the standard of liberal. It may be liberal in your context. Right? Does that make sense? Yes.
Could we say the same in the realm of morality?
Morality is the same. Because the point is that how do you define what's morality? You know, it's just like it was in the other day. A nice definition. That as, let's say, the head of state, right? He can actually bend the truth, cheat, take the country to war, do all these kind of things, all kinds of nonsense like that. hide things, you know, all these different things that the public doesn't know about, but he cannot get intimate with an intern. That's taboo. You can bring down the whole government for that. But he could be doing much worse stuff, you know, starting wars that are not necessarily, or covering up things, or cheating, lying. That's politics. Hey, that happens. But don't get close with the intern. You understand? You look at so many heads of state have come down simply for that. Somehow or another, that's the big thing. You know what I'm saying? So let all this big, huge nonsense go by, but on this thing we'll get very, very strict. Right? You know? So that's basic. But if you don't get caught, then no one's going to hunt for it. You know what I'm saying? The point is don't get caught with the intern. But if you don't get caught, no one's going to look for it. They're not going to have, you know, people out looking, you know, what you're doing with the interns. You know what I'm saying? But in the politics, you know, don't get caught, that's better. But if you do get caught, then they have their spin doctor. So they'll work on it. You know, it's not the end of the world. Does that make sense? So where is that coming from? Who's decided that? That's just somehow or another the modern democratic world accepts that. You know what I'm saying? But let's say you go into some other cultures and, you know, do what you like with the interns, you know, just don't, you know, make politics with us. You know, when you make politics, that's where we're going to get upset. But what you do in your spare time, we're not going to worry about. You know what I'm saying? So, depending upon the culture, then they have their different standards. You know what I'm saying?
So in both cases, the weakness is there's no substantial standpoint which would be Krishna.
Yes, there's no authority of Shastra. That's the weak part. The point is that someone has the standards of morality, that's good. There's a concept of religion or a concept of these things, that's good. But that it's not based on Shastra, that's where the weakness is. Right? So we don't have a problem with morality as long as it's based on Shastra. We don't have a problem with Dharma as long as it's based on Shastra. You know, moksha, it's based on Shastra. It means all these different things. So that's the thing, is Vaidhi starts with that faith in the Shastra. Then we have Rag beyond that. So if you don't have faith in the Shastra, how will there be Rag? You know what I'm saying? It's like you have a piece of bread. Then you put stuff on the bread. You know what I'm saying? So the basis of the stuff on stuff, the sandwich, is the bread. No bread, where's the sandwich? You know, what are you eating? Oh, just, you know, cheese with some other stuff like that. Where's the bread? Oh, who needs the bread, you know? We're spontaneous, you know. This is a, you know, when we say it's a cheese sandwich, we mean it's a cheese sandwich, you know. You understand? Like that. So that's the... It's just interesting how if you use the sandwich, it gets across. But if I said, you know, eating the sabji without the chapati, you go, yeah? So? That's what spoons are for, right? That is, you understand? So that's why he used the Western example that somehow or other works better. Sad, but true. Okay, so who's fit? It is said that implicit faith in scriptural injunctions creates eligibility for the practice of Vaidhi Bhakti. So having that faith, then you're eligible. Then you can take up the practice. Right? But the nice thing about devotional service is so perfect that even if you don't have that implicit faith, you can still do devotional service. It just means it's of that lesser intensity. The greater the faith, the more solid the sadhana. Understand? That's what's so nice about bhakti, is that we say these things because then you get the best result. But bhakti is so perfect that even if you don't apply it so well, it still works. Right? It's only when you get offensive to the devotees and that's when it stops to not work. Right? It means even if you don't care for the Lord but you like the devotees, you'll still advance. But if you like the Lord, don't like the devotees, you'll have problem. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So that's where it gets there. But the other things is that, you know, it'll work. That's the nice thing about it. So it's like even if the sense control is compromised or the faith is compromised, all these different things, as long as there's no offense, it will go. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Right? And we don't take offense, meaning anything bad is offense. That's also another thing. Just like anything good is devotional service, anything bad is offensive. Right? Anything I don't like is offensive. Like that. It doesn't work like that, because that's sometimes so much of the argument is just that. No, but it's offensive behavior. Offensive to who? You know, what? What's the basis? No, it's wrong. Like that kind of thing. Similarly, implicit faith in Sri Krishna, driven by loba, intense spiritual greed, gives one the eligibility to enter the realm of ragamayi bhakti. Right? So implicit faith in the scriptures, then one is able to perform vaidhi. Because you know, scriptures say do this, go to Mangalarti, chant your 16 rounds, you know, circumambulate the deed. So you're doing it, you know you'll get the benefit, you know it will purify, you know it will bring one closer to love for Krishna, so you're doing it. The other is you have implicit faith in Krishna himself as a person. Right? So therefore that greed and that to be involved with him as a person. Does that make sense? Does that make sense? The difference? Right? Yeah. The eternal residents of the highest spiritual realm are immersed in various spiritual mellows that are full of raga. The devotees who are keen to obtain the ecstatic emotion that the Vrajavasis possess for Sri Krishna are eligible to enter into Raganuga Bhakti. Right? So simply, it's basically desire. Mm-hmm. Right? That faith is there and that desire is there. Because everything is based on desire. So one can have it for a moment, so then that aspect is there, but then the next moment one's obviously doing something else. So this is where it's consistent. So then it's called raga. Right? When the Vaidhi Bhakti practitioner listens to the pastimes of Sri Krishna, he looks for guidance from the fundamental scriptural instructions and uses an irrationalistic approach to comprehend these pastimes. But in Raganuga Bhakti, the intellect does not need scriptures or logic, for it is fully surcharged with loba to possess the bhava of the Vrajavasis. Does that make sense? You're reading it, okay, what does the scripture say? What does that exactly mean? You know, when it says that the rasa dance, that someone who hears this pastime, then they become freed from greed, so therefore we can listen to that, you know, so therefore we can practice Raganuga Bhakti, you know, even at, you know, an earlier stage, because here Sutta Goswami, or Sukadeva Goswami says, one who hears these pastimes will be freed from all lust, so it's not a bad thing to listen to that. Therefore, we can sit down and read these pastimes, right? Sounds good, right? But what I just said was 100% pure Vaidhi. But it'll be spoken as if it's Raganuga, right? If I listen to the pastimes, that's Rag. If I'm just, you know, going to the temple program, that's Vaidhi. So the point is, everybody listens to the pastimes. In Vaikuntha, they also listen to the pastimes. Right? Dwarka, they listen to the pastimes. So it's a matter, is the basis the Shastra itself, or is the basis simply, that's what you want to do? Right? It's not that I like doing it just because I get the taste. I have faith in Krishna. Right? In other words, Krishna is the person. He who's who I like. So therefore, whatever is involved to be involved with him. Does that make sense? So it's not really different from the other, it's just where the basis is. You know, it's the same thing. It's just where's the, you know, which has the emphasis. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? Let's go try to use an Indian example here. Okay, I have chapatis and sabji, right? Now if I take that sabji and put it inside the chapati, right, then it's a paratha. Right? It's basically the same thing, but it just slightly different form.
Is it a burrito?
Okay, yeah, okay, then we could do like that. Yeah, okay. If it's chapati and sabji, then it's that, and if it's wrapped, if the sabji's put inside the chapati and rolled up, it's a burrito.
Now it's all clear.
I got to ask that as well when I return the temple. So, do you need to do like that? Do you need the temple president to be? usually people just tear a piece off.
Okay. No, the first time I did that, I took the sabji and I put it there, rolled it up, and I ate it. And I got chastised immediately. He says, don't eat it with your left hand. Right? No, you're saying I got chastised for that. You know, then we're thinking, you know, because you know, naturally you're thinking because you're eating it like a burrito, but it's not because it was a burrito. It's because it was in the left hand. But isn't that how you do it anyway? You take the chapati, put it in your left hand, then with your spoon you take the sabji and put it inside, right? Then you roll it up with both hands, but then you eat it with the right hand. That's the important thing. Like that, you know. No? I remember when you go around the West, you always see that, right? Dal's in a cup, you drink that. Rice, you just eat with a spoon. And sabji, you eat with a spoon. And chapatis, and you somehow put something in it, or, you know, they don't quite know what to do with those. But, yeah. Okay. Vrajanath, what is the process of Raga Nuga Bhakti? Raghunath Das Babaji. The sadhaka must always remember and follow in the footsteps of an eternal associate of the Lord, a Vrajavasi, in whose eternal service to Sri Krishna he finds a deep attraction. Thus, the sadhaka has developed lobha to attain a position of service similar to that of his chosen Vrajavasi. The sadhaka will reside in Braj, either in person or in spirit, and contemplate upon the loving exchanges and conversations of that Vrajavasi with the beloved Sri Krishna, developing an increasing intense greed to acquire a similar bhava. Right, so it's all about attaining that mood, not about hearing about them. Right, it's about attaining that mood. That's why you're hearing about it. If you want to do something, then you hear about what is that activity. But you're not imagining yourself doing it. You're hearing about the person who is doing it. Right? That's the difference. Raganuga means you're hearing about someone else doing it. Sahajya means you imagine yourself doing it. That's the actual difference. Right? So it's not that you're hearing pastimes about the Lord or discussing that that makes you sahajya. That you think you're the one doing that makes you sahajya. Right? Does that make sense? Developing an increasing intense greed to acquire a similar bhava, he assiduously emulates the Vrajavasi of his choice and renders two varieties of devotional service under his or her constant guidance. Externally, he serves the Lord as a sadhaka and internally assumes his spiritual form, the siddhadeha, which will permanently manifest one day and serves the Lord in that capacity, right? So now we give another slight nuance that's here. Is that actually he's pointing out that this Raganuga is actually happening at the platform of Bhava. Because that's when Anartha Nivriti has actually fully taken place. Because after Anartha Nivriti, one can start, one if it comes up. It's in other words, okay, now I'm going to start this. No, that's Vaidhi. It just happens. You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? So the element that's where it actually, because then you can actually, you do have your spiritual form, and therefore you can assist those devotees in their pastimes, but you're doing it through meditation. You understand? Does that make sense? If you have come to the platform where you've left, that's why he says, and the siddha, which will permanently manifest one day. So now it's through meditation, but that one day means then one will accept, one leaves this body, and one accepts that as one's only shelter. Right, one's only in the siddha, so that position then is that's the natural. So before that, it's still just appreciating what they're doing, hearing about, and that. In other words, he's explained it from its beginning stages up to its natural manifestation, right? Because that's where it will manifest. Right? Does that make sense? So either one comes to that platform within this lifetime, or one goes back to Godhead, and then in that platform, then performs his bhav sadhana, and then comes to the platform. Because we've pointed out here, ragatmika means prema. So that means bhava is raganuga. Right? Does that make sense? Vrajanath, what are the parallels between Raghunuga Bhakti and the limbs of Vaidhi Bhakti? Raghunathas Babaji. All the Vaidhi Bhakti limbs are Shravanam, Kirtanam, etc., are very much present in the devotional activities of Raghunuga Sadaka. While the Sadaka is savoring the eternal service of Sri Krishna within himself, under the guidance of his chosen Vrajavasi, externally the limbs of Vaidhi Bhakti Sadaka are being simultaneously performed. So you won't see any difference. But no, there's the idea that Raghunuga Sadhana is something else. No, it's Sadhana Bhakti. And it can be either done in the mood of Vaidhi or in the mood of Rag. It's not a different process. That's why they try to make it into a different process. Oh, we'll sit here in private, we'll read these stories, we'll do this and that. That's Raghunuga. No, Raghunuga is a mood. It's not what you're doing. Right?
Maharaj, we discussed before this idea of choosing an association. Is that revealed?
The boy sees the girl. Does that make sense? That's the point. It's choosing, but at the same time, it's the natural attraction. You know, so, you know, it's just.
How do you know it's natural? You might be a boy and like to play, and you think, I want to be a coward boy. And you're a girl, and you think, I want to be a gopher. And that, in the bodily concept, it's natural. So how do you know? It's not just influenced by bodily concept.
No, the point is we're talking about a madhyamadikari here. So then in neophytes, then they're always going to function in Vaidhi. So then it's just appreciated that kind of service that they're performing, that's the kind of service you'd like to be rendering to Krishna. It has nothing to do with the bodily form, right? The girl may want to be a coward boy, the boy may want to be a gopi. It's nothing to do with that.
Okay, so let's say the boy wants to be a gopi. How does he know that's natural attraction, not just...
How does the boy know he likes the girl?
Boys naturally like girls, but we don't naturally like Krishna in our contaminated state.
Yeah, but do 8-year-old boys like girls? That's why there's the concept of cooties. Right? You understand? But at some point, they don't worry about cooties. So how does that work? It just happens. You know, so that analyzation of it means it's there. It just happens. That's why he's giving it this general form. We generally try to fit it into this logical thing and things like that. But that's the Vaidhi, because then we need to have scriptural rules and regulations to justify it. It's just saying, when this comes up, this is how it's done. Like that. So, but the point is it doesn't matter. If it comes up earlier or later, it doesn't matter. It will come up. The point is Baba will be done in that mood. You know, but he's pointing out some other symptoms here is that they're performing all the activities of Vaidhi. And then Rupa Goswami mentions that the wife with a paramour does their duties even better. So the point is you won't know. If they're making it known and this and that and always talking about how they're doing, then that's not Raghunuga. Right, that's being done. There's some social element. There's some other things that are there. Rag means you won't know it. So that's the point. Is the Raghunuga Bhakta and Sadhana Bhakta and the Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakta, you won't be able to tell the difference. The one thing is that the Raghunuga, he'll definitely be very nicely situated in his sadhana. It'll be very regular, very stable, and everything like that, so that one doesn't notice. But for the Vaidhi, means if he has that kind of commitment, then it will also be very stable, but it'll have a different flavor. You can tell by the flavor, yes.
Ananda Maharaj said yesterday that they're protecting their consciousness by making sure they are not put in the center of attention.
Yeah, that would work. Yeah, because if you put in the center of attention, then it's hard to maintain that, because it's about someone else, because it's rag anuga, you're following someone else's mood, it's not your mood. So if you put in the center, then, yeah, that would distract. It's a very good point. You know what I'm saying? So the ones that are always trying to put, you know, the ones that are always grandstanding, then that's generally not Raga Nuga.
So you're saying that if there's an inclination for Raga Nuga, but one is not on the stage of, one is only, let's say, on the stage of Nishta?
No, from Nishta you can start. Okay. But before that it wouldn't, because the anartas are going to be too distracting. As we described before, is that pure devotional service, there is only pure devotional service. There's not pure devotional service, but you can have mixed devotional service. That means it's pure devotion and something else. So the point is, devotional service is pure. So when a neophyte is doing devotional service and is focused there and not distracted by the anartas, it is pure devotional service. It's just not as consistent as a madhyama. For the madhyama, it's more consistent, so it's prominent. But while for the neophyte, it's occasional. You know, so it may be very intense, very full, but for a short time. So all day on Janmashtami is very good, but then the next day, you know, you don't see them, you know, like that, because, you know, that was intense, and now we need a break, and, you know, you got to, you know, wander around your apartment in your sweatpants, you know. So, you know, you have to, you know, balance things, you know. You got to be natural right here, you know. So does that make sense? Yeah, so it's just a matter of one should understand is that it's not that aspect's not there, but it's not there to the point where you call it that. You know what I'm saying? Like you take a 4-year-old girl or 6-year-old girl, when they go up into the attic and that, and they're playing and find all the old stuff, what are they doing? It's just marriages every day, all day. But one will not consider them mature enough that it's actually serious. You know what I'm saying? Because you can walk in on them. When you walk in on them, they're having a wedding there. Do they get upset? No. But when you walk in on the teenagers, they're kind of like, you know, says, you know, didn't you see the sign on the door? You know, no parents allowed. You know, that kind of jazz. You know, this is my room. It's my private. It's on and on and on. But with the little ones, as you walk in, oh, hey, yeah, we're doing this. You know, so, you know, you can be part of the scene. You know. Does that make sense? So there's a difference in the mood, like that. But the point is in devotional service, it's hidden. That's all. Yes.
All right. The central point would be to develop that greed for devotional service.
That greed, but it pointed out. Yes, of course, the greed is there. But it's not that, as we mentioned, it's not that these principles aren't used also by, let's say, the Vaikunthavasis. So they'll have those who are just, you know, just doing everything. It's their duty. They're doing properly. It's for Krishna and everything. So it's pure devotional service. But then there's those that have that greed for showing it in that way. The point is its basis is the rules. I'm doing this because the Shastra says, so I'm expressing this love I have through this medium that the Shastra says. Right? That's Vaikuntha. You know, so Dwarkon, that's what's going on. But Ragmis is simply focused on Krishna, that greed to there. But now how you express it? Because the other one is through Shastra. But this is, it's through this particular associate of the Lord. So how they express their love for Krishna, that's how you want to do. So it's not based on the Shastra, but what you're doing is Shastra. You know what I'm saying? In other words, it's not based on Vaidhi, but you're still doing Vaidhi. We take it, if it's not based on Vaidhi, we don't do Vaidhi. No, but it's not based on that. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay, Vrajanath, what is the superiority of bhakti based upon raga to bhakti based upon vaidhi? Raghunathas Babasi. Practice of vaidhi bhakti for a long time, even with the utmost sincerity, is hardly able to produce the results that are gained from far less endeavored by raganuga bhakti. Vaidhi bhakti is hedged in by a great number of shastric prohibitions and prescriptions that make it weak. whereas Raganuga Bhakti is independent and based upon natural attraction, making it firm and sturdy. The Raganuga Sadaka, an aspiring servant of a Vrajavasi, stimulates increasing raga by internally following in the footsteps of his chosen Vrajavasi. By his simultaneous application of the nine processes of Shravanam, Kirtanam, etc., and all the other suitable limbs of bhakti with his external body. So, in other words, the 64 items that we just described, that's sadhana bhakti, right? So now, if it's based on that, because the shastras say, that's vaidhi. If you're doing it because this is how you want to please Krishna, that's rag. Right? So it's quite simple, the two, right? But so here is that it's hedged because I'm doing, okay, I have to do this now for Krishna, I have to do that now for Krishna. So what the point is it's not as dynamic as I'm doing this to please Krishna. Does that make sense? But you'll use the same form. So that's why vaidhi is important to practice it nicely, because then as a practice, one can do it without thinking. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like, you're not so good at driving a car, so every time you drive, you're there thinking, okay, to get to this and that, put that, and get it in gear, to take off the brake, okay, all the seatbelt, yeah, get all those kind of things. Then you're not really thinking about the driving. You know what I'm saying? It means you could say you're driving, you're saying, okay, that guy's there, we got to go over here like this, and we got to do. So all those things, but it's not as natural as that is done so much, that is habit, that you follow all those rules, and now you can focus on just how you move through the traffic and what would be the appropriate thing. That's the difference. So we get the idea, if it's not based on the rules, means it's not dependent upon the rules, means we're not following them. No, the expert driver is not dependent upon the rules for his driving. He's actually driving. The rules are the expression. Right? Does that make sense? Because that's what you'll see. That's the form being used. Right. So. Yes, right. Okay. When the consciousness has been cleansed of the contamination of the material modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, one naturally feels an increasing inspiration to follow a particular eternal associate of the Lord. So here it also mentions goodness. So that means you're working in pure goodness. So it's a very advanced state. The reason it's being discussed is so that one knows what one is looking for, and not to become too overly, focused on the following of the rule that is devotion. It's that following the rule to please Krishna, that's the devotion. You understand? And then naturally these things will happen. That's why it says vaidhi may get in the way, because if you're too focused on the vaidhi, not from the doing it nicely for Krishna, but just the rule itself. I'm following the rules, that's devotion. No, you're following the rules to please Krishna, that's devotion. Because as we mentioned, all the rules of devotional service, you know, that those 64 that are there, much of the time the smartest are pretty much following most all of them. Right? If they're Vaishnava smartest. Right? So they're following all, because that's what's in the Vaishnava text. So that's what they're doing. That's the rule, so they're doing it. Does that make sense? But that'll get in the way of their devotional service, because they think it's because I've done the rule, therefore I'm going to get the devotion. Right? So it's like karma mimamsa. I do the fruit of work, I get the result. It has to come. So it's just because I've done the rule. It's not about God's mercy and his being pleased. Yes?
So in the smarter mentality, it's you do the right thing, the right way, but mood is not a consideration?
It's not, it means mood meaning, but it'll be the mode of goodness mood will be considered. But the element of the devotional aspect is not important to them, because they think I get the results automatically. That's the thing about karma mimamsa. Is that
so isn't the mode of goodness more process oriented? Like if I do the process this way?
So is the mode of passion. It's only mode of ignorance isn't process oriented.
So their consciousness is more in terms of external perfection.
Yes. If I do the rules right, then that's the proper thing. Then I'm a proper Vaishnava.
So the concept of devotion is not...
It's not for the smartest. Because the point is it's all about your work. And so then I'll get... In other words, I'm going to elevate myself to the heavenly planets through worship of Vishnu. Or I'm going to get liberated through worship of Vishnu. So it's, and it's because I've done the work, I deserve the result. So it's not about God actually as a person and his being pleased. Right? Because the other concept is that the form of the Lord means, in other words, Brahman has no form. So to meditate on Brahman, you have to have a form. So now of all the forms, then Vishnu, that's the form of Brahman, who is then, you know, under the influence of his external potency. So therefore, he's the topmost aspect of the mode of goodness. So it's the best of all the forms you could use. But that form is temporary, because on the ultimate platform, there is no form. So that's why, even though they're Vaishnavas, because their ritual is worship of Vishnu, but they're not actually Vaishnavas by the devotional definition, because they don't accept. Means Shraddha means that you have that faith that the form of the Lord is eternal. That's what makes a neophyte devotee special, is he believes in the eternal form of the Lord. So even though he's not very qualified, not very, you know, established in goodness, he's still more qualified than a perfect, you know, Brahmin who does all the rules and everything but doesn't have that faith. You know. So that's the, you know, culturally he may be seemingly in a lower state, but as far as actual situation of consciousness, is higher. Is that?
Well, it seems like that, even though we weren't raised as smart, as it seems that it's a common way of approaching.
No, that's just the way it works, because you have karma and you have yama. They're just set paths, right? You know, in other words, one follows the path of the previous acharyas. So, you know, by habit, the materialist always follows the path of other materialists. So it's set, the modes of nature. If you're taking karma, it'll look this way. If it's jnana, it'll look that way. It's just set. The modes of nature already have it. So the point is because we think we're the body, so therefore we think I'm the performance of these activities. Right? So in other words, I'm the body, so anything connected with the body is mine. So it's the same thing. I perform the devotional activities, so therefore those are mine. Does that make sense? You know, the idea is to serve Krishna. So you have service, you're doing service and all that, but then they'll be fighting over who does this for the deity or who does that for the deity. And I'm putting on the turban. No, I've been thinking about it for days and this and that and all that. So it's all about, it's theirs, not about Krishna. So that's just normal. Because the point is religion means I perform a pious activity, I get a good result. People want good results, so therefore they're willing to follow the ritual as long as they get a good result. If they think the good result's not coming, they give it up. You know, so someone tries for some years, you know, even though it's difficult, because you know, okay, you have to be determined, you have to do that. But if at any point they decide this is not giving the result, they give it up. So it's just normal. It's just standard. That's why it's talked about, because that's just what people do. But the point is still within that they're connecting it to Krishna's devotional service, they're making benefit. It's just showing that you could get more benefit and move quicker if you understood that mentality. But if not, it'll eventually get there. It's just a matter of how much time. That's all. So we're being given the opportunity in one lifetime you can get to that platform. You know, so if you don't take it seriously, then you can stretch it out. But everyone will get there. Is that? Yes.
Whereas if we attend the Sringa Arati, so the doors open and Sringa Arati's going on, that's the time for the Arati, but we go, and then because that's the time for it to take place, but then we think about how can I make it nice for the Sringa Day, you know, be happy, dancing, you know.
Yeah.
Is that the spontaneous?
That's there, but it's also is that you want to be there because you want to see the Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, the point is, it means if that's when you can see him, you want to be there to see him. Right? Rather than, okay, now it's the Sringa Artik, so now we...
Supposed to.
Yeah.
So it's supposed to and want to?
Basically. That's you know, easily identifiable. Right? But it has to be consistent. So, like, the new bhakta wants to eat the bucket of halava. But then in between that and the next bucket of halava, then there's no spontaneity. So you don't say he's on the spontaneous platform. Yes?
Could you perhaps define this concept of bhava? Early in the movement, at least for one pujari I know, she was so attached to puja. This was 1969. Prabhupada said she had bhava.
Yeah. So, well, it means you have bhava. It doesn't mean you're on the platform within the Shraddha de Prema of bhava. Because bhava means it's being performed in the spiritual body. It's not being performed here. It's just actually within Vrindavan in there. So that's there. But has bhava, bhava simply means emotion, feeling. So then that's good. Anybody can have. But it's just how much. So hers is of a certain volume and of a certain consistency. So then you'll say they have that. You know, it's just like the poorest guy has money. But you don't say he has money because it's not of a volume and a consistency that you would say that it's notable like that. Does that make sense? So even the Nusnabha, you know, in the kirtan, then they're ecstatic, but after the kirtan, they're in the modes. So therefore, but it, you don't call it they have bhava because it's there. You might say, well, you know, he has, you know, bhava there in the kirtan, you know, but the other time then it's... Yeah. The idea is that all these things are there and one can appreciate them for what they are, but it's not, there's no... there's no status thing connected with it. There's no... It's just a matter of consideration of what's to be done. You're hungry, you eat. You're not hungry, you don't eat. It's not made into a big thing. Does that make sense? So that's the... In other words, the external is simply defined, okay, then what will be done? But that's all the more importance of the externals is that's the situation. Now you also have what's the appropriate time, what's the appropriate mood, right? So here's the situation, and then you have these natures, so therefore you have these duties. And then what's the mood in which they're performed, like that. But because of the nature of the material world, we're looking at externals. That's the whole thing. That's what Maya is all about. It's all about the externals. Because it's not about actually enjoying, because there isn't such a thing. It's about if I have this external situation, I will call myself happy. Right? Because you're taking the Lord's energy, and instead of looking at his opportunity to serve Krishna, it's about Krishna. It's about me and the situation. What can I get from the situation? So it's all about the situation. So you can add people to the situation. You know, or the person itself can be the situation, but it's still about situations. So that's why the tendency to overly look at the external aspect becomes important, because that's what we do, right? But the point that's being brought out is that there's more than that. It means you have to have a situation, because that's why the Lord has his dom, and he has his pastimes, so certain things. In the house of Mother Yashoda, he acts in one way. When he's out with the cowherd boys, it's another way. When he's out with the gopis, it's another way. So the point is the situations give rise to what rasas and that can come up properly. You know, but the point, it's all about interacting with Krishna. So it's a matter of what they prefer to interact with Krishna in a particular situation because it's the fullest. But it doesn't mean that they're not appreciative of anything else. Like Mother Yashoda watching Krishna out milking the cows of the cowherd boys, you know, she also appreciates that. But it's not as full and intense as when he's in her house. Like that. So that's the natural, that's where the full manifestation of her rasa is. Right, is in the house there. Right, with the cowherd boys, it's when they're, it means, but the cowherd boys are in Mother Yashoda's house, because kids and parents, it's compatible rasa. So that friendship and vatsalya is compatible. Right? So therefore, they can come into the house and they can be friends with Krishna as long as they behave. Right? So when they go out into the forest, then there's no parental rasa as a restriction, so now they can be crazy. You know, so that has more taste. But they can still manifest the friendship rasa when Mother Yashoda is present. Right? So it's they can appreciate that. You know, but the gopis, they're appreciating the cowherd boys and that Krishna, Mother Yashoda with Krishna and all that. But their rasa can't be manifest at all. Right? So therefore, it's in the most restricted. But they're happy to be there. It's not like, wow, you know, you're so restricted, I don't want to go there. It's that they're happy to be there because it's all about Krishna. It's not about the situation. You know, for us, if it's too restricted, we don't want to be there. right? Because it's all, it's not a, it's, so, but if it's about that interaction, then we don't care the situation. You know, does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Okay. When the consciousness has been cleansed of the contamination of the material modes, goodness, passion, and ignorance, one naturally feels an increasing inspiration to follow a particular eternal associate of the Lord. So it's natural, right? But still, when one is cleansed of these modes, like that. Thus, the lobha and ruchi for raganuga bhakti actually inspire one to follow the path of one's true nitya dharma, right? So the greed and taste. Raganuga bhakti and ragatmika bhakti have the same number of divisions. There are two kinds of ragatmika bhakti: kama rupa, devotion born from desire, and sambandha rupa, devotion born of kinship. Right? So in other words, ragatmis, raganuga and ragatmika have to have the same because one is following the other. So as ragatmika has two kinds, that born of desire and that born of kinship. So then the raganuga will have the same, because you're following means in the footsteps of someone in desire or in kinship. Right? So you'll, yeah. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.1.31 states, "My dear King Yudhishthira, the gopis by their lusty desires, Kamsa by his fear, Shishupal and other kings by envy, the Yadus by their familial relationship with Krishna, you Pandavas by your great affection for Krishna, and we, the general devotees, by our devotional service, have obtained the mercy of Krishna." In this shloka, six relationships with Krishna are mentioned: kama, lust, bhaya, fear, dvesha, envy, sambandha, family ties, sneha, affection, and bhakti, devotion. Among these, bhaya and dvesha, being unfavorable feelings of the mind, are unsuitable for prema bhakti. Therefore, they are rejected by devotees of the Lord and have no part in ragamayi bhakti. Right? So even though the ones, you know, Kamsa and Shishupal are always thinking about Krishna. I mean, it's just like this. Shishupal comes up with one after another. He doesn't have to stop and think, well, give me a moment here. You know, he just one after another spontaneously says 100 insults. Right? Think about it. If even the person you dislike the most or a situation, could you come up with 100 spontaneous insults about it? No. Because you don't think about it all the time. So that means Shishupal only thinks about Krishna. Right? Kamsa always thinks about Krishna. So one could say it's constant, you know, it's full absorption, like that, you know, it's with emotion, you know, but it's not favorable to Krishna. So that's why Rupa Goswami says pure devotion, favorable to Krishna, like that. You know, so it's constant. But it's not favorable, it's not free for karma and jnana. Like that. The sneha mentioned in the above shloka indicates the favorable feelings of friendly affection. The favorable feelings of friendly affection towards the Lord.
Right? The F words.
Yes. Accordingly, it is to be placed within Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, and is also not part of ragamayi bhakti. In other purely transcendental relationships, the word sneha indicates affection laced with the loving sentiments of prema bhava, and is therefore not a part of raganuga sadhana bhakti. For that level of spiritual love belongs to accomplished prema bhakti. So when we're discussing here also about the ragatmika bhakti, we're talking about prema. We're not talking about beyond that because it doesn't have a place. Means that the raganuga can't practice that because it's sadhana bhakti still. We have to remember it's sadhana bhakti. So then when one gets to prema, then it has these elements beyond. So here when we're talking about the sneha, it means within the rules and regulations. So that sneha that's beyond, that's not being reflected here. Right. Further, Srila Rupa Goswami explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Purva 2.135, that Vaidhi Bhakti is indicated by the words of the above shloka, Bhaktya Vayam Vibhu. We through Bhakti have attained the supreme goal. Right? So that means It's they're talking about the regulation. I've done the activities, so that's how I've gotten. I've done the activities that please Krishna, therefore that's why we have devotion. Thus, the shloka explains that the general devotees have attained the supreme goal of devotional service to the Supreme Lord by Vaidhi Bhakti. Right? Otherwise, if it's Raganuga, there's a good chance they wouldn't be saying it. Therefore, the category of bhakti indicated by the above words, bhakti avayam vibhu, is not ragamayi bhakti. In other situations, the word bhakti mentioned in the above shloka may be interpreted to indicate jnana misra bhakti. In other words, bhakti mixed with jnana, thus indicating a strong affinity for scriptural knowledge and a tendency for monistic liberation on the part of the sadhaka. Hence, this cannot be taken as part of ragamayi bhakti. Right, because then it's about the knowledge. We have this knowledge of different ones like this. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the point, is that knowledge, for that itself is what's important. That's a problem. But when knowledge is simply so that one can properly see that one is doing things properly for Krishna, one has an understanding of Krishna, one has an understanding of yourself so the relationship can develop, then that's what's favorable. Does that make sense? Because otherwise sometimes we get too distracted by it. Yes.
If I'm listening to a class, totally goes in my head, and I don't do anything, would that be considered karma misra bhakti? Because I'm not able to get it into, or get much of it into action? Or is that not? But I'm willing, and I have the right mood.
I'd say that's just not that thoughtful. In other words, we hear, but we don't go to the next stage of contemplation and practice. So it's just the beginning stage of devotional service. Because karma means you're engaging your activities in Krishna's service. Jnana means you're also engaging the activities, but the focus is on the knowledge by which you're performing the activity, not the skill, but the metaphysical elements of it, the modes of nature, the different things, all those different aspects. That's jnana yoga. Because we see is that when Krishna describes, he gives karma yoga, that's straightforward, the activity itself. Then the next chapter he gives jnana yoga. But then the point is that jnana yoga has to be applied. So therefore in the fifth chapter, then it's an action in Krishna consciousness. So it's when the karma jnana yoga is applied in action. But the focus is on that proper knowledge. You see how the modes of nature are working. That's why you're choosing what you're doing. The other one is this is the rule, you're following that. You don't see what modes are governing it. Does that make sense? So jnana yoga is there. So that would just mean they're hearing, so that's good. So by hearing, they'll be purified, because at one point hearing turns into kirtan. So by doing this, then the mind will eventually become activated, that they will then contemplate it and then practice it. So it's just a matter, if they keep up the association, keep regularly doing that, it will come. But that's why it's also discussed, so that they know that it's an option that should be performed. Otherwise, sometimes one doesn't know about these things, so one doesn't think about it.
It seems like it's a huge problem, even after so many years of hearing the same thing.
It's just a matter of time. When it will click, you can't say. That's the whole point, is that everybody's an individual, and so when it actually means something to them, then they'll do it. But you have to appreciate that as a basis, that being involved in devotional service and that idea of Krishna as, you know, we're his servant and he's the, pleasing him is the goal, prema is the goal. So those aspects are there in every devotee, but it's just a matter of how serious they are about following all the aspects of the path. So they may be developing nicely in one area, the sadhana is very steady, but in another area, then they don't necessarily think about it and apply it into their life personally. You know, so it's just a matter of time, and then these things will happen. You know, in other words, it's just how long it takes for it to ripen, you know, like that. That's all.
So what would you suggest if someone's unripened and they want to ripen, but they're not ripening?
But the point is that wanting to ripen is the first step. Because the point is if you don't, it means if you don't have a desire for something, how you get it. Because the point is when there's desire, then there's contemplating on the object. And then there's understanding of the proper knowledge that therefore goes with it. So then you can make a proper plan. You know, that's how the mind will work. If you have the right attitude, then you that's because you see what you can gain. Right? And then you can look at, then with that perspective, you can look at the field of activities in relationship to that and make a proper plan. Of course, it's that you've seen the field, therefore there's an inspiration to do something. So you've seen the field, you see what it gets, so you're inspired. But it's that focus on that, then you'll go back and look at the field carefully, how then I can apply this. So that's the first step. If that's there, then everything else will follow. So it's just a matter of then wanting to know how to best do that. You know, but that wanting to know is not because that's just how it's done, but because that goal is wanted. Otherwise, it's just because that's done, then again, it's just the vaidhi without understanding that higher aspect. Does that make sense?
In that situation, can we pray to have the desire?
Can we pray? Yes, why not? You know, as we keep always mentioning, there's that famous, I'm not sure what it was. I can't remember when it was. It was the 70s or 80s. But Jai Takamaras gave the class, you know, that one should cry for Krishna. If one can't cry for Krishna, one should cry to cry for Krishna. If one can't cry to cry for Krishna, one should cry to cry to... He did that for 5 minutes. So it's a very, I mean, at least it's a very famous lecture, you know, so you could definitely say he made the point. In other words, somehow or another, you know, you have to get to that point. You know. So yes, of course. That's why it says somehow or another. So by prayer, by study, by association, you know, by contemplation, by practice, it doesn't matter. Just somehow get it. Right? That's the point. You really want something, then you'll figure out however you can get it, however it can be done. Right? So that's what the acharyas give. That's the idea of sadhana, is that all the options are there. Now you choose from those options what works for you in the situation you're in. You know, what's appropriate. Like that. But the idea is that, you know, you use more of them. Like what we were studying in Manu. There's 6 ways of making you know, a living. Right? So a Brahmin generally takes one of them. But if he wants more, he can follow 2 or he can follow 3 or, you know, other things like that. You know, so is that works. Does that make sense? So if he follows more, then he'll have so much. He'll be a very wealthy Brahmin. But the point is that the more you follow, the more options and more opportunity that there is that you'll get something. Right? Does that make sense? Therefore, from this analysis, we see that 4 moods, bhaya, fear, dvesha, envy, sneha, affection, and bhakti, indicating either vaidhi bhakti or jnana mistra bhakti, are to be subtracted from the 6 moods mentioned in the above shloka, thereby leaving only 2, kama, spiritual lust, and sambandha, kinship, as self-assertive, transcendentally independent of scriptural regulation and applicable to rag marg. Thus, kama and sambandha are the 2 types of ragamayi bhakti. Now that takes an acharya to figure that one out from that shloka. That's why Rupa Goswami is the acharya. Okay, does that make sense? Rajanath, what is the nature of kama rupa bhakti? Raghunath Das Babaji, remember, this is, we're going through, it means bumping into these things many times for the first time, right? And this is chapter 21. We have another 20 chapters to go. So, it's, you know. So, in other words, this gives an idea of what's there, right? And so we see the first parts, you know, we're quite knowledgeable in. These parts, because we've heard that for many times. This is the first time we're running into this, really. It means it's mentioned, nectar devotion. It'll just give, but it won't give so much analysis like that. So then, but this will come later, because it will come up again and again, because Bhagavatam is always talking about this, right? Chaitanya Charitamrita is always talking about this. So just with time, it will. Raghunath Das Babaji, the word kama may imply the thirst to enjoy selfishly and materially. right? Because that's right, like a Kama Shastra, you know, like that. Anamoy means Kama. But there's the other definition, its original definition. However, when this mood manifests in Raga Atmika, Bhakti is actually causeless transcendental love for Krishna, completely free from the material pollution of selfishness. It's simply to please Krishna. That's the difference. The form looks the same, but the mood is totally different. That's why I say it's like gold and iron. Right? Transcendental kama is selfless love, wherein every single endeavor of the devotee is directed to satisfy the beloved, Sri Krishna. All activities for self-aggrandizement and self-gratification are absent. Even if there are elements of desire for personal happiness, these are ultimately employed for Krishna's pleasure. His point is, if you're happy, then it's nice. And it's just like if you're with somebody, if you're in a happy mood, they're more happy. So therefore, doing things that makes you happy, then it makes the other person more happy. So it can be connected to them, not to yourself. This super excellent love is perfectly employed for Krishna's pleasure. I just went from the one to the sentence above. Yes. The super excellent love is perfectly portrayed in the gopis of Braja. The love of the Braja gopis is truly transcendental, pristine and untouched by mundane contamination. It can never be compared with the lust of the embodied, materially conditioned living entities, which is self-centered, motivated, and gross. This brilliant love of the Braja gopis is so lofty that it inspires the purest and most spiritually evolved devotees of Krishna, like Uddhava, to aspire after it. Right, so the word brilliant, it's not because the editor was British or something, or, you know, because in Bhaktivinoda it's British, you know, use British English. The brilliant here is that brilliant means that it's so pure that its shine is so great. So therefore this conjugal rasa is called Ujvala, right? But the only kind of nice translation is brilliant. Like that. Like Jwala means, you know, bright, Ujva, so very bright, like that. The kama of the Vraja Gopis has no parallels anywhere. It is the superlative and absolute pinnacle of divine love. Kama-rupa bhakti thrives only in Vraja and nowhere else. The desire, so that element, it thrives there. It may be present in other realms, but it thrives there, right? Because the queens in Dorka, then they also are in a relationship of conjugal, but it doesn't have the same. It's not called ujjwala. It's not brilliant. It's because it's controlled. The rules and regulations control it and all that, because then all the expression is through all those different aspects.
Raj, is that why in previous texts that the Vaidhi Bhakti was mentioned as weak, so because it weakens them?
Yes, it means if you're taking rag, then it means it's weak. It doesn't mean that as a devotee or one's faith is weak. It just means it weakens that natural spontaneity. While rag, it allows it to come out very nice.
So the process is not weak?
No, the process is not weak. Yeah, that's a very good point. The process is not weak. So it's not a lesser platform of devotional service. It's just that expression of emotion is in that way of that spontaneity, it'll be weak, because it means it's just naturally. It's just like if you're put in a very formal situation, even your next, your best, most confidential, intimate friend, that manifestation of the relationship is weak, just because of the formality that's there. But as soon as the program's over and you walk out, then you start interacting. So then it's.
What about Mathura? Is there Raghunuga Bhakti in Mathura?
It's halfway between, but it's still, because it's halfway, it's not solid. So we don't see that there's much discussion about Mathura. It's there, but the standard places is Vrindavan and Dwarka. But it's there. because of that mix, it doesn't come out, so it's not as prominent. Neither one is the most prominent. So it's higher because of the element of that kind of attraction and that element, but at the same time, the manifestation is not as strong. You know? It's just like Krishna goes into Mathura, then that attraction, they're coming out on the rooftops, there are all these different things are there. So it has that element is greater than, let's say, in Dwarka. But the problem is then the manifestation interaction, he's coming in with four hands. But he's very beautiful, like kind of like Vrindavan, but it's got the official, it's this interesting where Dwarka and Braj kind of meet. So it's you know, you don't get that full manifestation like in Braj or that full manifestation like in Dwarka. So even though on one level it's more perfect, but at the same time, at least in the conjugal ras there is considered lower.
So it's higher in Dwarka, the conjugal ras?
It's higher in Dwarka, the conjugal ras, but the overall it's higher in Mathura because of that spontaneity. Like that. Okay. Kama Rupa Bhakti thrives only in Braja and nowhere, not elsewhere. The desire exhibited by Kubja and Mathura towards Krishna is indeed love, but not the pure kama of transcendence. At best, it is almost kama, known as kama praya, and is distinct from the kama of the Nitya Siddha Gopis, as just described. Right, so it has that element of that kama, so it's not formal, but at the same time, doesn't have the form, it's not like the Gopis. Because it's about her enjoying with Krishna. So it's about Krishna, but it's about her enjoying with Krishna. Well, the gopis, it's not about them enjoying, it's just about Krishna. Like that. That was before. So this is afterwards, what it's talking about. Because then she invited him to her house. So. Vrajanath, what are the characteristics of Sambandha Rupa Bhakti? Bhagavad Das Babaji. Sambandha Rupa Bhakti springs from the mood, I am Krishna's father, I am Krishna's mother, or other familial relationship with Krishna. In the Vrishni dynasty, Krishna's parents, Devaki and Vasudeva, and others display this familial sentiment. However, the original manifestation of this mood is in Braja, as exhibited by Jashoda and Nanda and others of that mellow in Braja. One should understand that Ragatmika Bhakti is the exclusive domain of the Nitya Siddhas of Braja. And that their unalloyed transcendental love finds its natural expression in Kama Rupa Bhakti and Sambandha Rupa Bhakti. So in other words, Ragatmika is the mood of Braj. Right? So that's why we give that thing, because it means when we're referring here, many times you see that the term Braj is used rather than Vrindavan, because there'll be many manifestations of Vrindavan. But there's only this one manifestation of Braj. Does that make sense? I don't mean by how much of Goloka it takes up. I mean is that it doesn't have other forms. While Vrindavan itself may have the form of Braj, form of lower Goloka, all these different aspects in which the different kinds of devotees that are interested in Vrindavan Leela, because the residents of Vaikuntha are also interested in Vrindavan Leela. But that Vrindavan Leela is not Braj. Because it doesn't have that ragatmika mood. Does that make sense? In other words, it's following all the rules in that nicely in a more sweet and wonderful, intimate way. You know what I'm saying? But rules are still followed. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It seems like there's an assumption here that anyone can come to Krishna consciousness and practice ragatmika bhakti in the mood of Braj. And then we have like the situation in CC with Mari Gupta and his devotion to Ram. So could you...
Well, that's the connection is Lord Chaitanya. Otherwise, you probably wouldn't see them, too closely associating. It means that they wouldn't have any problem. They came together, but the common element is Lord Chaitanya. So you have those who may be in Chaitanya's pastimes, but not in Krishna's, right? Or in other ages that are in Krishna's pastimes, but not in Lord Chaitanya's. But the element of being in both, then that's something unique to the Gaudiya Sampradaya.
So So we're making the assumption that a Mahaprabhu is giving prema in the mood of the residents of Vraja, and that's our aspiration, and therefore, even though I'm qualified, by his mercy, we can do it. And if there's any inclination towards Leela, we think any Leela outside of Vraja, we think something's wrong with me, or I cultivated with the goal of coming back to Vraja.
Well, first is the element of the assumption, because it mentions that Lord Chaitanya is giving the highest. It's never been given, so that's the only thing that's never been given. Because, as we mentioned, is that Raganuga Bhakti, in Vrindavan, of Radha and Krishna, that devotion has already been given by Nimbarka. But it's not Braja Vrindavan, because there is no mood of separation. So it's a different manifestation of Vrindavan. So that aspect there is not an assumption. No, it's the fact, like that. And that's what's available. Now, if one can take advantage of it, then nice. And if one has other ideas, then hey. But that's what's being offered.
But those other ideas are not constitutionally part of the rasa that person has with Krishna?
Maybe, but the point is Lord Chaitanya's mission works for everybody. Like that. Just as in the philosophy, whatever is your philosophy, it's already contained in Achintaveda Veda Tattva. So even if one's interested in Vaikuntha, still one's philosophy, particular Vaikuntha philosophy, is already contained in Lord Chaitanya's philosophy. So you'll get what you want, but in a more efficient way, more clear, exacting way. Like that. So that's what's there. So then it becomes very... it becomes very natural, very relaxed. So that means, see, other pastimes may be nice, but the point is what are you attracted to, the particular activities or the sentiments? You know what I'm saying? Bhima is throwing elephants around, but is it about, I'd really love to toss around elephants. Or is it a matter of just that manifestation of that strength, or that kind of like slightly on the edge, kind of aspect. So it's a matter of, it's the mood, the bhava, because it's that the residents of Vrindavan can appreciate any mood anywhere, because it's all rasa, and it's with Krishna. But it's that they have their specific interaction with Krishna. Like we mentioned before, his mother Yashoda can appreciate the cowherd boys playing with Krishna. It's not her rasa, but she can appreciate rasa. That's the meaning of rasik. The idea of that rasik means I can only appreciate a particular rasa. That's not actually a rasik. A rasik is one who can appreciate rasa, like that. So then even in your, Mahabharata pastimes, rasa is going on. So you appreciate the rasa. But the point is one's interest in relationship with Krishna is in Vrindavan. Does that make sense? So that's it.
So would therefore, if someone is interested in cultivating Raghunuga Bhakti in the mood of the Vrajavasis, even before they're on that level, they just know they're supposed to do this, like mm-hmm. here and here, and they're very attracted to hearing about Ram, would they naturally, to cultivate Raj Bhakti, be more interested in hearing 10th Canto? Or hearing Bhagavatam and cultivate, or is it all equal?
It means the point is that if one likes hearing about Ram, because the point is it's Maryada. So it's about, means in other words, if you follow Dharma, it gives a very strong result. And that one of the results is a very strong emotional experience. Right? So, therefore, it's the strong emotional experience that is attractive in Ram's pastimes. Okay? But the point is once one is purified, one can appreciate the activities being done through another manifestation, through Madhurya or Audarya, then those also become just as attractive, one's able to appreciate the emotional content. But the other, it's on the level of Dharma. So therefore, if one is accustomed to, a regulated lifestyle, doing things that you're supposed to, due to either just, the social position or religion or something, then that will naturally be attractive. Does that make sense? But it's just a matter of purification to get from that conditioning of the platform of Manamoy up to Anandamoy. Because Anandamoy naturally has more experience than that. But it's not that it's on that platform, it's that that's the medium through which it's expressed. So because we can relate to the medium, therefore we appreciate the rasa. Does that make sense? So it's not a problem.
It'll lead to it.
As long as your goal is Krishna and doing those things. So it's not that you have a chance to go to the Bhagavatam class or a Ramkatha and you go to the Ramkatha. No, it's just a matter of that if you're hearing Ramkatha, you have no problem. That's why it's in Bhagavatam. You know, they don't have problem. You know, the gopis, when they are harassing Krishna that he's ill-behaved, then, you know, give the example of he cut off Suparnika's nose. So he doesn't actually know how to properly deal with girls. So that's why he's misbehaving now. Right? So they don't make a distinction between the two. It's Krishna. So you can see here you did this. You know, it's not like there's the Krishna standing in front of me now and then the Krishna over there with Mother Yashoda, Krishna this and that. It's the same Krishna. So you behave badly with over here, you know, that's a fault in your personality. Right, because you wouldn't have done that, you know. So therefore, they're making that as a point, you know. They're finessing the other elements. They're just looking at behavior with girls. They're not looking at the dharma and the justice and this and that. And she's a demon and his wife and you know all those kind of things. Because they look at it from the other point is that to maintain that consistency of relationship with his wife. You know, he's willing to go to the point of cutting off this other girl's nose because his relationship with his wife is the most important. But they're not doing that because, you know, that's part of the fun. Is that, you know, he would be thinking, well, what about that aspect? It's kind of like, forget that. You don't know how to behave with girls. Right? You know, does that make sense? So like that. They don't make the distinction. We make too much of the distinction because it's one person. It's just depending upon who Krishna's with. That's what he manifests the mood. You know, it's like that example of when Krishna was hiding from the gopis, you know, and he took the forearm form of Vishnu, and the gopis came by and, you know, Vishnu, have you seen, you know, Krishna, you know, like that. And I'm not sure what was his, you know, thing, because the four hands, you know, he's pointing all the directions. Yeah, we saw, you know, all four hands, you know, like that. So, whatever. So it worked there because of the intensity. It means he is Swayam Bhagavan. So any other personality other than his Sarup Shakti is a partial manifestation. So that means there's something... means it's not dealing with his complete personality, so there's still something he can hide or hold. So with them, he could maintain it. But when Radharani came by, she's a Sarup Shakti. So that means she's only thinking about Krishna on every aspect. So it doesn't leave any spot for him to manifest a different mood. So therefore, he can't maintain the mood of Vishnu. He has to manifest as Braja Krishna. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Kamanug is of two varieties, Sambhoga Chamai and Tad Bhavecha Mai. Sambhogecha Mai is the desire to enter the transcendental amorous pastimes of the Braja Gopis with Krishna and satisfy Krishna therein. These pastimes are supramundane and are defined as sambhoga, pleasure. The desire to enter such pleasurable dealings is sambhogecha Mai. So probably the echa means the desire for sambhoga. Tat-tad bhavecha mai is the desire to develop profound transcendental love full of sweetness and amorous feelings for Sri Krishna in emulation of the Vraja Yuteshwaris, the different female group leaders of the innumerable Vraja gopis. Vrajana, how are these two types of raga nuga sadhana? How are these two types of raga nuga sadhana bhakti, i.e., kamanuga and some bandhanuga, ignited within the heart? Notice that he mentions that there's two varieties, but as soon as he's defined the other one, it's just the topic is dropped and moved on. You know, like that. Right, means the Yuteshwari, maybe it's just that. Yuteshwaris means the head of a group of gopis. Right? Means, in other words, it's always there. If you have a group of girls, one has to be the head. Right? You know, you may have a group is the head of a bigger group, but within that group, there's always a head. There's always the head girl, you know? Like in high school, there's one girl, you know, like that. It's just the way it works. So that, any group other than that, because Radharani is the Yuteshwari. So so following Yuteshwari, that's fine, because that Yuteshwari is Radharani. Right, or those others who are following in her line. But here it's meaning about Yuteshwaris means that are not, that they're rivals to Radharani. So that's why it's mentioned, because it is a kind of kamanuga. But as soon as it's defined, it's not taken any further. Does that make sense? Raghunathas Babaji. By seeing the beautiful deity form of Sri Krishna, by hearing of his glorious pastimes, a devotee experiences the desire to experience the bhavas intrinsic to these pastimes. With great fortune, he then embarks upon practicing either Kamanuga Raghunuga Bhakti or Sambandhanuga Raghunuga Bhakti. Vrajanath. Sri Krishna is the Purusha, the male entity, and the Vrajagopis are all Prakriti, female entities. Therefore, it seems that only women are eligible to participate in this mood of Kamanuga Raghunuga Bhakti. How can males develop such bhava? Raghunath Das Babaji. Though residing now in this material world, the living entities have five different spiritual mellows according to their tendency. Among these, four, dasya, servitorship, shakya, friendship, vatsalya, parental love, and madhurya, conjugal love, are found in the Brajavasis. Right, so in other words, the santa is not there, right? Because they're all serving or doing something. Of this four, there are three mellows wherein devotees serve Krishna in a male form, dasya, shakya, and vatsalya, each according to the individual taste. Whereas those of female form serve Krishna as mothers in vatsalya bhava, or as gopis in madhurya bhava, according to their own taste. Since the nitya siddhas are either male or female, the sadhakas take on a mood and gender corresponding to the particular nitya siddha of whom they take shelter. Okay. Vrajanath. How may those devotees who in this world possess a male body serve Sri Krishna with the mood of the Vrajavasi? So it means, in other words, it doesn't matter what the form is here, it's what the form is there is of interest. That doesn't mean you walk around with a limp wrist or something like that. Raghunathas. Those pure devotees who have entered Raghunuga Sadhana Bhakti in Madhurya Rasa, the conjugal mellow, may have a male external body here upon earth. However, internally they possess a spiritual female form in the transcendental realm. Right? In the transcendental realm, not here. Right? So you don't dress up. That's the shaki bakis. You know, we'll hear about them later. Is that they're men, but they dress up as gopis. You know, sometimes you see them, they have that pearl in the nose, and they have earrings and the whole thing, but they also have a beard. So, you know, what to do. They take shelter of a particular Vrajagopi of their choice, and according to their individual predisposition, follow and serve Sri Krishna in their innate spiritual identity as female attendants. The Padma Purana narrates an incident in corroboration of this concept. Attracted by his exquisite beauty, the great sages of the Dandakaranya forest desired to have Sri Rama as their husband and took this aspiration as their internal meditation. Right, so here, even if Ram still can go. Later, in other words, if you see it as Ram, as that's the important element, but if it's a matter of Krishna, you know, it's just Krishna as Ram has such nice pastimes, that's one thing. But if it's actually, no, Ram, that mood of Ram, that aspect, then that's another thing. Later, when Sri Krishna manifested his pastimes in Gokula, these sages were born in female bodies and entered the pastimes as gopis, steeped in Madhurya Bhava, conjugal mood. Rajanath. The scriptures tell us that the gopis of Gokula in the spiritual sky are Nitya Siddha, manifesting in Brajadham upon earth to enhance the transcendental pastimes of Sri Krishna. In this, I guess, if this be so, how may the statement of the Padma Purana regarding the Dandakaranya sages be harmonized with this description of the gopis of Gokula? Right, so it's saying is that these Nitya Siddha gopis are manifesting here within the Gokul pastimes. But the sages of Dandakaranya, then they're coming and manifesting also in this pastimes. So how would you put these two together? Because one is coming down, but the one's coming up. So how does that work? Raghunath Das Babaji. The Nitya Siddha gopis manifest in the material world to participate in the Rasa Lila dance of Sri Krishna at Gokula. However, in addition to them, there is another category of gopis who are sadhana siddhas, having attained perfection through Kama Rupa Sadhana Bhakti. They are elevated to the pastimes of Gokula. According to the Srimad Bhagavatam 10.29.8, where it is said, Tat varyamana pati bihi. By serving Sri Krishna in meditation, when hindered by their mothers, fathers, husbands, and brothers from meeting Govinda, they, the sadhana siddha gopis, abandon their external material bodies and regain their original purely spiritual forms. And in these forms, they attain the association of Sri Krishna in the Rasa Lila pastime. Many of these sadhana siddha gopis were previously the Dandakaranya sages who had performed Raganuga sadhana bhakti with a conjugal mood in their hearts towards Krishna. Thus later they acquired transcendental forms as gopis in Braj. Right? In other words, the idea is to associate with those more advanced. And if you want to develop the love of the Braja gopis, then you'd actually have to associate with those who are the Braja gopis, the eternal associates. So the idea is that then those, they are able to come there and be involved in that form. Because as we mentioned before, is that when one, and on the platform of Bhuta Shuddhi, Bhuta Nivarnam, Bhuta Bhavana, maybe it's not Bhuta. Means the word we use for liberation. Huh? Brahma Bhuta. So some Buddha was in there. Okay. So then is there, so one doesn't have the conditioned nature, but still some of the effect is still there. Right? Because there's still that attitude. But one's in the spiritual form. Someone may say, well, how would they get the spiritual form? They already had the spiritual form. But the point of being with Krishna is about bhava, not about the form. Right? The form follows the bhava. So therefore, if the mood still has that tinge of the material contamination, that means the form also has that tinge, right? Because the gross follows the subtle. So then when they're stopped by the parents, that subtle is completely burnt up. So all the reactions or anything contained from their previous good or bad karma is completely gone. So now the form is completely on that transcendental platform. So it matches, the mood is completely now transcendental, so the form now matches that. Then they're able to go to the rasa dance, like that. So it's subtle, but they are in their surup. That's how someone here can be in the surup there and take part in the pastimes. But the point is it still has to come to that point of samadhi, where it's not going to be. Okay, so we'll stop here. Continue in the evening. Okay.
Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki, Jaya Soma Vetal Bhaktivedanta ki, Jaya Nitya Gaura Vaishnava ki.